We'll go ahead and call the planning meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Salute pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Is it going to be Haley Lang 1 or Haley Lang 2?
I'll do roll call. Commissioner Mello.
Yes.
Commissioner Beal.
Here.
Commissioner Powell.
Present.
Please note that Blair Hart and Danielle Lindler are absent today.
All right. Approval of the minutes for August 16th. We were just handed a revised copy with corrected numbers.
So a move to approve as presented.
Have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same. Let the minute show unanimous approval. Before we move to item 4, still related to minutes, what is the process for amending the minutes, draft minutes, from our joint meeting? Do I respond to the clerk via email to get... I was surprised they were not... I will be kind. Our clerk, Janine, is very detailed and gets everything that was said in the context for which it was said extremely accurate. I was highly disappointed with the quality of the minutes of that joint meeting. It was lacking. Unacceptable, in my opinion. We should have had Janine doing the minutes there.
She's not well.
I know she's not well, but so for, I mean, I've got pages of additions and things that were missed or stated inaccurately in those minutes. So do I just send an email and then call my supervisor, Ray, who wasn't there, or call Cobsef and say, hey, make sure that my amendments, changes, and whatnot get in there?
Yeah, I think to start with, your writer, whoever said that, is emailing or writing the county clerk, probably, I think it was Wendy Winningham, directly with your comments and corrections. She'll either, I believe what...
Because wasn't that meeting recorded?
It was recorded, yeah. Or it should have been recorded. It
should have been.
I haven't gone back and looked at the website. They normally are all recorded.
Okay.
Where did you see the minutes?
They were emailed to us.
Yes.
At least they're
in progress.
I got an email of the draft minutes about 2 weeks ago, eight, 9 days ago, to look over, and it was like a whopping 6 pages. And I was like, wait a minute. So then I started reading them, and I was like, missed a heck of a lot in there.
Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't too.
Now, I know when staff comments the Planning Commission minutes, Janine will integrate those comments before they're presented to you.
Mm-hmm.
I have not worked at the board level very much at all. I don't know if the clerk's office would do the same if you submitted the written comments. At worst, it would be indicated to the board they had received these comments from you and that you wanted whatever corrections and additions to the minutes in, or she will simply do that before the board, and I don't know which she would do. I know what we would do, but I don't know what the clerk's office would do, but I would start there, and I'd certainly be glad to liaison.
Okay, because I just think it's extremely important that on this matter of reviewing and renewing the general plan, that all comments be accurately documented in this process. And a lack of accuracy leads some to believe there's a lack of transparency, which leads to additional questions, which likely were already answered. And then as we deal with the public hearing process, we're going to catch grief for something that was already addressed because it's not accurately reflected. That's my concern.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they presented for approval yet? Have they been?
Well, they'll be presented. That was my next question, because I was kind of half thinking that we... are the supervisors going to approve those minutes because it was a joint meeting? Do we approve what our portion and they approve their portion?
That's actually a good question. I hadn't thought about that, because technically you were sitting at the planning commission. There was much your meeting.
There was a roll call made,
yes.
And the only way they have a quorum to approve those minutes is if at least two of us are present and all of them are present in order to approve those minutes. Technically, they can't legally be approved.
Yeah, technically there should be some sort of joint approval. It does seem, I hadn't really thought about it, but I agree with you that as meeting and support, you need to, the commission, you need to approve the minutes as well of your meeting. So let me discuss that.
Okay.
How we might approach that. Perhaps we'll come back to you individually as this commission, but I'm not sure how that would really work, because theoretically you might approve two different sets of minutes.
Exactly. According to process, if you're having a joint meeting, you have a joint meeting to approve the minutes. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to really legally approve those minutes.
Yeah.
So, okay, you have a mission.
We have a lot of process to discuss.
Okay, you have a mission then, counsel. Thank you. Item number 4, unscheduled appearances. So anyone from the public who has an item that is not on the agenda today is welcome to come forward, introduce yourself, your residence, and speak your piece.
My name is Steve Bradford. I appreciate your concern. You seem to be very, very thorough. I was here for the supervisors meeting when these clowns from Sacramento came up here and tried to advise the Planning Commission on how California wants the county of Siskiyou County to be ran according to Sacramento's plan. And that is the problem. Sacramento is a communist country down there, and we don't want that up here. I'm speaking very strongly as a concerned citizen and as a Vietnam combat veteran. At 17, 18 years old, I was concerned about what was going on in Vietnam, and I went to find out, and I found the corruption, and I did my part there. I served. I was a door gunner. I, you know, was an active military combat veteran. But I also had one eye on what was going on, and I didn't like what I saw. We didn't belong there in the first place. Anyway, I come back here and I, you know, get busy doing my life and everything. Life is going on. We vote, nothing changes, the world keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And here we are today with this corruption in our face, and we've got to do something about it. Siskiyou County, or Shasta County, is working very diligently on taking their county back and avoiding the corruption that's coming into California. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. So many people are leaving. We've got a big problem here. And these guys coming up here from the Planning Commission or whoever they were from Sacramento, trying to tell us how to stack and pack our area like they're doing down there in the 9 counties of Sacramento, San Francisco, and that mess they have down there. The spotted owl was just a hoax. They took our lumber away. Now they're taking the dams away illegally. There's no congressional approval of these dams going out, but it's just being done because they have the power and the money through these environmentalists. So it's important for us to get educated, and that's what I'm trying to do, is bring the education forward to you folks, to the supervisors. This is not the first time I've been here. Well, in front of you it's the first time, but to the supervisors, I've been here for 14 years trying to advise these people. Michael Adams, who passed away, he was trying to advise the board of supervisors before that of the corruption that's going on here. And we have to be aware of it. We have to open our eyes, pull our heads out of the sand. You know, I was shocked when I moved up here and realized what, and got educated by the people who live up here about what happened with the logging. You know, coming from Monterey, Carmel, and, you know, my head was in the sand. I really didn't understand. I thought these yo-hos up here were ruining our forests. And I come up here and I talk to loggers, bloggers, and tree fallers, and find out that it's not the case at all. This is their livelihood. Why would they ruin their forests? You know, there are corporations who have ruined their forests. We know that, the clear cut and all that crap, and not planting them back. Who's responsible for planting all these trees back that they burned up our forest now? That's another consideration we have to have. But I appreciate all of you all being here, and I hope that we together we can start working together to bring our county together and fight back against the communist problem that's going on down in Sacramento. I took my time to come here this morning because it's very important. I have a lot of things going on out there, but I had to be here this morning, and I'm going to start showing up even more because it's really critical right now. Thank you for your time.
Sir, can you repeat your name and spell your last name for the record, please?
Radford, R-A-D-F-O-R-D.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other unscheduled appearances at this time? All right. Please tell me there are no conflicts of interest to declare. Okay. We got three. We have a quorum, and I was just waiting for one of you to say. Okay, good. Presentation of documents. All items presented to the Planning Commission become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies should be given to the clerk, which is Acting Clerk Rachel, for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record, please address the commission at the table and clearly introduce your full name and address. Address will not be included in the minutes. Maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be allowed. The public records declaration is item number 7, along with item 8, our public hearing protocol, which can be found in the agenda with the right of appeal statement. I will read that. Projects heard at this Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Any changes to the agenda?
None.
Good. New business. Item 1. Henry Tentative Parcel Map TPM-23-01.
Okay. Good morning, Haley Lang, Planning Director. So the applicant is requesting approval of a tentative parcel map to subdivide an existing 15.03 acre parcel into two parcels of 3.0 and 11.53 acres. The project site is located off Grateful Way, east of the community of Mount Shasta City, on APN 037-188-180. This project is slated to be exempt from CEQA, utilizing the common sense exemption. Two comments have been received, one from CAL FIRE, which includes, you know, their standard language that they typically include related to 4290 and 4291 compliance. And additionally, Environmental Health submitted a comment requesting that the on-site disposal area be recorded on the map. That concludes my comments. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any of staff at this time? No. I have one. So on the map, the TPM that we have on the last page of the staff report, I'm assuming, but we all know what assumptions do, I'm assuming that the existing 60-foot easement that is shown on the left side of the page in the dotted line, that is the ingress egress road and not a utility easement. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because in the first two maps or photos that were shown up at the beginning of the staff report, even on the electronic, I was unable to blow it up clearly.
It's called a private road. That's called a private road.
Oh, I see it down there. I was seeing the notation up there, and it just said easement, and I was wondering if what that was. So that is access to Grateful Way?
Correct.
Or does it? Okay. All right.
Yes.
Because on the first two pages, it was not real clear. It has the project site.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out where the ingress egresses were. Okay, go ahead.
No additional comments unless you have questions related to
the project. So that's this brunt of the staff report, I take it. Okay.
Sure.
So then let me jump back to the agenda so we follow proper procedure. You already hit correspondence. Any further county input? Mr. Wessel?
Just council? If there's any public comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I haven't gotten there yet. This is additional reports, arguments, or evidence by county departments or public agencies. Now I will go open the public hearing. Proponents present that wish to add anything to the staff report? Seeing none. Opponents to the project? Seeing none. Do we have anyone online wishing to speak on this project one way or the other?
Please raise your hand if you'd like to speak on this item. Seeing none.
All right. Then there's no need for rebuttal. We will go ahead and close the public hearing and take it back to the commission.
Are you ready for a motion?
No, if there are any further questions, because I think on this one I had one more.
Okay.
You don't have any?
No, sir.
Questions? Okay. Nope, this isn't the one that I have the question on. It's on the next one. Yes, I would entertain a motion then, gentlemen.
I move that we adopt Resolution PC 2023-012, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determining the project exempt from the California Quality Environmental Quality Act and approving the Henry Tentative Parcel Map TPM-23-01.
Do I have a second?
You have a second.
Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye. This is a voice vote.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Let the minutes show it was a unanimous approval and passes. The next item is item number two, Ward Zone Change Z-22-03.
Haley Lane, Planning Director. The applicant is requesting approval of a zone change for three parcels, APN 020-470-400, from neighborhood commercial to heavy industrial. APN 020-470-420 from rural residential to heavy industrial, and APN 020-470-360 from neighborhood commercial to heavy industrial. The project site is located at 3116 State Highway 97, northeast of the community of Wee. And the intent of this zone change is to essentially, you know, bring what's currently and has historically been happening on site into compliance. SW Maintenance is, you know, located on these parcels, and so, you know, this land has been utilized for 20 years or so for that business and related activities associated with that. And the reasoning for the zone change also, you know, the uses that are occurring on site, like the, you know, repair of equipment and contractor's yard and things like that, are things that are, you know, allowed outright and are light industrial. But with the heavy industrial, it allows for more an expansion of uses, and everything that is allowed by right within our light industrial is also allowed by right within our heavy industrial. So it just makes sense to, you know, increase that zoning to heavy industrial to allow for that expansion of uses, you know, should in the future SW Maintenance want to expand their uses on site. Since this project site is, you know, currently operating and existing, we will be utilizing the CEQA categorical exemption for existing facilities, since no, you know, new facilities with this zone change are planned. Let's see, two comments, you know, from our agencies, and I know we can't condition a zone change, so these are more going to act as notations, but, you know, CAL FIRE just included their, you know, boilerplate language related to 4290 and 4291 compliance. Environmental Health, they made a comment related to the hazardous business plan, and they already have one in place, so in the event that that needs to be updated for any reason, the applicant will be working with Environmental Health to update that plan. Let's see, those conclude my comments, and happy to answer any questions.
Okay. So we have our staff report. Any additional reports, Mr. Wessel or Council?
No additional reports.
Okay. Any questions of staff at this time?
Just, could this have been handled in-house over the counter without?
Unfortunately, no, because the zone change is discretionary. So even though it's something that's been existing on site, we don't have any authority or mechanism to approve something like that in-house, unfortunately.
Okay. We'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Proponents present that would like to speak on this project beyond staff report.
My name is Kurt Reichel. I represent Jeremy Ward, who's the applicant. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Okay. Thank
you. At this moment? Great.
When the hearing closes, we may have questions for you.
Thank you.
Any additional opponent or proponents for the project?
Somebody tied them up.
Okay. Any opponents to the project? All right. Anyone online wishing to speak on this project? All right. No need for rebuttal then. Let the record show no one other than the project proponent representative spoke. We will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. Questions?
None at this time, sir.
Commissioner Veal?
No.
Okay, so let me go back here to this. Go back map. So on this one, looking at this, on the, I guess it'll be 2nd Avenue. And it would be, because the airplane, Okay, 97 mm-hmm. runs east. So I'm going to go based off of 97. To the mm-hmm. south of First Avenue, I'm guessing is Second Avenue that splits the our project that's in front of us and that next group of parcels. Does staff know offhand when that APN 020470 looks like 190?
Yeah, 190.
Was designated MH heavy industrial? I'm looking at this and I get weed as a mill town. But these parcels were originally created for single family mm-hmm. dwellings for mill workers. Mm-hmm. Do we know when that one south of Second got rezoned to heavy industrial? I mean,
I don't. Unless they had a zone change, it would have been done in around 1980 when all of the other zoning was updated and implemented.
Okay. Because in my time here, we have not mm-hmm. done an RR to an MH
right.
in this area. Okay. I'm not opposed to this project. I'm just, it's a yellow flag that we're starting to get MHs getting placed on rural residential
mm-hmm.
in kind of a checkerboard fashion, as opposed to a prior and properly planned
right.
situation. Makes sense. With this project, that's how it's getting used. I'm not opposed to the project. My concern is we've got then this next one over is an MH with surrounding parcels, all single family RRs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes sense if it had direct access to 97 or to First Avenue, but the fact that it's, you've got to come off First, make a turn, and then come back up Second, going through residential area, that one causes me concern.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not in front of us. These, I get.
So how do they access it? From what?
From Second. You've got to come down First Avenue, mm-hmm. and then you cut over and then come back up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just a yellow flag to staff. Okay, I will leave it at that. I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt resolution PC 2023-013, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, recommending that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors determine the project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act and approve the ward zone change Z-22-03 by adopting a draft resolution rezoning approximately 2.1 total acres, assessor's parcel number 020-470-360, 020-470-400 and 020-470-420 from CU and RRB1 to MH.
Okay, it has been properly moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, properly moved and seconded. Additional discussion?
Nope.
One final question to staff. We currently do not have a minimum for MH, or do we?
We do, but it's the same standard size that all the other parcels have, which is 7,200 if it has connection to sewer and water.
Okay, I wanted to make sure. that was my second question I forgot to ask. Okay. Properly moved and seconded. This is a roll call vote.
Commissioner Mello.
Yes.
Commissioner Beal.
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle.
Yes. The project is approved. Let the minutes show was unanimous. Agenda. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in.
Thank you.
Agenda item 3. Presentation of permit ready plans. And this must be that file that took forever since internet has been off over in the valley for almost a day and a half in places.
You mean
and
this?
No Verizon service.
You didn't get this?
Oh, it finally downloaded this morning. No, we haven't had internet, and I haven't been able to use my hotspot because Verizon towers have been down.
Oh, really?
It's been awful over there the last 2 days. So, public presentation, permit, ready, plans. Who is taking this one on?
I will be introducing the project, and Rachel will be going through the plan specifically for the public record. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. This has been a project in the works. It started 2 years ago. Community Development has applied for taxpayer dollars through the REIT grant and were awarded such. The purpose of helping out with building in the county. One thing that's unique to this is it is county-wide. It's not specific to just the county unincorporated areas. The cities can also use these plans if they so choose. But the idea is to, this is basically born from the ADU conversation, essentially to develop more housing, right? Statewide, basically. That said, these plans basically range from an efficiency dwelling of 396 square feet up to a 1,650 square foot home. They could be utilized as the first single family dwelling or as an ADU as a second dwelling for parcels. We've tried to take care, and Rachel has wrestled around with the architect quite a bit to simplify the plan so that they're easy to build. They're designed with a stacked roof, basically. Folks can opt to do trusses if they chose to, but we're trying to keep it simple so the owner-builder could build these homes. Also, the dimensions are very basic to maximize the use of materials, so around 2 foot, basically, dimensions. That said, we're pretty excited about this. It's been projects in the works. This will help out a lot with our community, rebuilding the fire structures. Burn homes and so forth from Happy Camp, Slater, Fire, McKinney, Klamath River, Mill, Shastina. So, what I do want to say is this is a soft introduction here. These are conceptual at this point. We're still working on the engineering to finalize it. But we want to get this out so folks can start looking at different designs and start initiating the building process. One that they're going to have to, basically be all the site work done, at their expenses, all housing is, right? So the site map, setbacks, 4290, 4291, Mr. Wessel, environmental health, well septic, and so forth. Get all that dialed in, and then kind of get ahead of the curve when the engineering is finalized. These plans will be for free for folks to come and utilize and choose over the counter.
So pre-approved.
Pre-approved, pre-engineered.
No red marks on the plans.
Correct, yep. It'll all be vetted out through our building department.
Will the UBC have to be followed?
Yeah, it's all to current code.
Okay.
Yeah, we couldn't get away from California.
So, the process is that once these have reached final engineering approval, we as Planning Commission will approve the concept as a essentially a streamlined administrative permitting process where a property owner can come to the planning department, select a plan, it's pre-approved. The permitting will be simple because it's already gone through. But it will still go under normal building inspection, foundation, electrical, plumbing, insulation, etc. But it's a simple plan. They don't have to go hire an engineer to design it.
We have a stamp.
Immediate stamp. So after we do approve, then the supervisors approve, then it gives the county an administrative opportunity to streamline permitting.
So there is no approval by the Planning Commission or the board related to this.
Okay, you're just keeping us in the loop of what's being done. Okay, because I was wondering why, if, like, okay, normally we don't deal with this, but I'm trying to get the reason why it's coming to us.
This is the opportunity to have a public hearing, essentially, to try to get this out. I know it's not all that well attended, nor the board either, quite frankly. But, you know, keep the Planning Commission and also the Board of Supervisors in the loop of what's going on, what's going to be offered for folks.
Okay. So, I have a question. Okay, where I live, we get a lot of snow. So, this is county-wide. But in the city of Mount Shasta, for example, the structure will have to meet the snow load. That's why I asked about the UBC.
Yes. We looked into that forefront. So all these are designed with a 60-pound snow load, which is satisfactory for the Mount Shasta area.
And it used to be 90, by the way.
Most of the county, right? There are exceptions. If you want to build out of Medicine Lake, you have to get your own engineer to do that. But it'll cover the majority of our needs for the county. And also the foundations are designed for 1,500 pounds per square foot.
And the property owner is responsible for the financing, blah, 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 just like a regular home.
Yep.
This is just a pre-designed as is. Thank you.
So then my next question, since these are going to be offered, I get it's the structural layout. Do these also have the electrical and plumbing associated with them?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
With the drawing plans, yeah.
If, and this is where I got into a passionate discussion with the Wairika building inspector. He finally saw the error of his ways. How flexible are these plans for the property owner to change locations of light switches, outlets, adding outlets, etc.?
Well, that's code usually.
But if you have, this is the issue that we had because it was a remodel on the Farm Bureau office because it burned in the fire and flooded. And we totally changed the electrical layout and simplified it from the way it was because essentially it was two houses put together. And we simplified it. And Wairika building inspector said, oh no, it has to go back to the way it was. And I said, no, it doesn't. That was part of our passionate discussion. Are these flexible enough? Because I know if they're pre-approved plans, oftentimes it has to be done according to the plan without flexibility on plumbing and electrical modification.
Yeah. There could be some minor basic modifications made.
Okay.
All these plans can be mirrored around. If you're going to change the location of its light socket or whatever, it can be basically change the order essentially approved by the building department.
Okay.
You know, so that is changed. It's attached to the plans. The building inspector can observe that out in the field so know what's going on.
Okay.
I'd like to add that it would depend also on, as you mentioned, the building department for the jurisdiction. These plans are it's part of a regional grant, so these plans are going to be available not only to the county residents, but also all of the other incorporated jurisdictions will have access to these. So, for example, if we have in our building department a minor change that's made, they would just look at it and determine if it can be redlined or if it's something that would need to be redesigned and have new plans submitted. And that would likely be the same situation that the other jurisdictions' building departments would take a look at the specific change that's requested and then make a determination on if it's something that can be redlined or not.
Okay.
Did I hear you say that you can use a change order like we used to do when I was in construction? That you, if you wanted to change something, that you could modify it and then a change order was issued? Is that still?
Yeah.
I mean, would that apply here?
Yeah, so.
The building I'm talking about was commercial, it was school district, so there's a lot of other things, but.
There's a gamut of situations, right? Each would have to be addressed individually, depending on what's going on.
That's what I mean, yeah.
So one example I can give you, we had a home that was designed, pre-designed for the half camp area for on-demand hot water heater, propane supply, right? Very expensive. The property owner is like, hey, can I switch this out to electrical water heater? I said, yeah, absolutely. So basic minor change was made. Didn't have to go through re-engineering.
No. Yeah, I would just... There's got to be some avenue that if you want to do this, that it's approved under the UBC or whatever, the county code or whatever, whoever's the governing issue. Okay, thank you.
Is the building inspector universal for the cities as well as the county?
No. They'll have their own jurisdiction.
I would not have had a problem with the county building inspector.
As Rachel pointed out, each individual jurisdiction will go through their process.
Yeah.
They will have the option to utilize our plans pre-approved by our building department. If they want to do further review or whatever, that's going to be on them. We're simply going to give them the option to utilize it.
So the county actually provides building department services to the town of Fort Jones and also the city of Edna. So you would be dealing with the county building department for those two jurisdictions. We have spoken to the city of Weed regarding these plans and they're pretty excited about them. They do building services, I believe, for Doris and maybe Tule Lake, I'm not sure.
Doris, yes.
So you would have just a few for the majority of the county that you would be dealing with.
You bring up a good question. Does Weed provide for Tule Lake?
You know, I know they do Doris and I thought they did one more, but I could be wrong.
Because for some reason I thought Tule actually used an inspector at Alturas because he actually lives like in Canby and it's quicker for him to get to Tule than somebody from here.
Yeah, and it's not specifically, Weed is not providing the services for Doris. It's the inspector has an additional job basically and he's covering that area.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission?
Well, I like this plan, the bedrooms in the kitchen. So
we will be going through all of the plans and I'll be pointing out different aspects of them. So let me know if you do have any questions or if you want to go back to something in particular.
I'm more interested in barns. I want to see the barns simplified.
All right, if you're ready, then I'll go start the presentation that we have on the board up here.
Okay.
So, in general, for all of these plans, there are three different styles for each of these floor plans. It's going to be a craftsman style, a farmhouse, and a modern. It's the left one. Rick, left. Left. Your other left. Thank you. There you go. All right. So we have craftsman, farmhouse, and modern for all of these plans. All of these plans, we made sure that they would have a lot of covered exterior living space. That covered exterior living space isn't included in the square footage calculation, so it's kind of like a bonus space. Plus, with our weather here, we wanted to make sure that there was some space outdoors that was covered just so that in case it was hot or if it was snowy or rainy, that people still could have their barbecue out on their porch or something like that. As Rick mentioned earlier, all of the plans are designed for a 60-pound roof snow load, and all of the plans can be used as an accessory dwelling unit, except for the very largest of this. And what an accessory dwelling unit is what used to be called a granny flat or a mother-in-law unit. Right now, the state of California has regulations in place that any parcel that's zoned for residential use that already has an existing dwelling on the property, it can also have an accessory dwelling unit. That's provided, of course, that there is adequate water and sewage and physical space for that ADU. All of these plans are going to be able to be mirrored, so if somebody wants to flip-flop it, that's perfectly fine. They will be able to do that. They all will have either a slab or a raised foundation. The slab foundation will be designed for ADA access. The raised foundation will not, but people can choose to have a separate engineer design for ramps if they want the raised foundation. Perhaps they're in a flood zone or something like that. And they want it raised, they could do that. There's one plan, of course, that's not, and that is the third plan that we're going to get to, which is a it's a apartment above a garage. That one is not going to be a raised foundation at all. Just all right, so this one that we're looking at right now is the Efficiency Studio. We have actually had quite a few people since I've been with the county coming in, and they own property and they want to build something on their house or on their property, but they can't afford to get a plan set together. They just want to toss something on there that's tiny just so that they have a place to live. And so this is to address that need that we have discovered. And it's very small. It's just under 400 square feet. However, it has a full kitchen. And Bernadette, I don't know if you want to zoom in onto this this floor plan right there, if you can. Just use the control and use the rollerball to zoom. Oh no, is it changing? Yeah, never mind, don't worry about it. All right, so you see here we have a full kitchen. It has a refrigerator. It has space for a full-size range. It has a sink and it has a dishwasher. There is space for a stacked washer dryer right here. The porch, we designed it to be 6 foot deep for all of these units, and you can see we have the Craftsman in this first column, we have the farmhouse in the second, and then we have the Modern in the third. The Modern has some extra windows that are optional. If somebody's trying to just build the smallest, cheapest house that they possibly can, they probably aren't going to want these extra windows, because this this floor plan actually has quite a number of windows in it already. And for lighting and for code standards, these windows that are up here, they're called clear story windows. They are not required, so those are an option. They can choose to not build them or not. Any questions before we move on to the next one?
Have they done cost estimates on these? Per square foot cost estimates, has anybody?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I said, has anybody done a cost estimate per square foot on any?
That would be something that somebody who's been doing some building recently.
Costs have
gone up.
Yeah.
I think it's close to 200 to 300 per square foot, but that I know that we just got some bids on some houses down in Happy Camp, and it actually was lower than we were expecting per square foot. So prices might be going down, but that would be something that, if somebody put this out to bid, they would be able to get.
Yeah, I was just curious
where the answer. Mm-hmm. Next one. Mm-hmm. All right, so this next one is a studio, and it's a bigger studio. It's 624 square feet. It has a full kitchen again. This one is only on one wall, but it still has the refrigerator, the sink, the dishwasher, and the full range. There's space for a side-by-side washer-dryer. The reason this one is a side-by-side is so that way if somebody needed to have a wheelchair, we wanted to make sure that they wouldn't have any issues accessing the dryer. So this one is considered an ADA design, so that way everything is accessible. The bathroom is also more accessible because of the spacing and the location of the fixtures. The bathroom has the sink, the toilet, and the shower or tub, and then it also has an extra linen closet tucked into the corner there. The only other closet in this unit is the one that's right outside of the bathroom, and then there's also a water heater space. Let's see. On this one, the porches have different depths. The Modern is 6 foot, but the Craftsman and the Farmhouse are actually 8 feet deep, so it's a quite large porch for such a small house. The garage that's attached to this is a single car garage, and it's actually an option. You can choose to not build that. If somebody just is like, no, I really can't afford to build that garage, I'm just gonna build the studio, that is perfectly fine. It's considered an option on this design. They can choose to build it or not.
So Rachel, the city of Wairika requires, or most 20 by 20 garage, is this exempt from that?
So ADUs actually have different requirements than regular single family housing, and I don't have the specifics on it memorized because in the county, we, most of our lots, we don't have that concern about parking, but usually ADUs are exempt from providing extra parking spaces if they meet certain requirements. So it could be that a garage would not be required for this if it was built as an ADU. If it was built as a single family dwelling, then whatever the local jurisdiction's requirements are, it would apply. All right, any questions before we move on? All right, next one. The next one is the two-story, the one that has the garage below and the studio above. It's the same square footage. It's the 624 square foot. This one has a quite large kitchen. This is actually a huge kitchen for this space, but we wanted to be able to give extra counter space if somebody wanted to maybe tuck a little office in this corner instead of having it as just a kitchen countertop. There's space for a stacked washer dryer just upstairs above the staircase. And then there are actually two porches on this particular one. There's the main entry on the ground floor that has a 6 foot deep porch. And then all of the units have an upstairs porch that is also 6 foot deep. So you have a lot of space here. If you wanted to, this could be used as a rental with either the use of the garage or not. Because of that, the reason we say that is because there are two separate entrances, one that is directly from the interior of the garage, and then we have a separate exterior entrance. So if somebody wanted to use the garage but rent out the top, there would be a lockable door in between the two spaces that that they could just keep locked if they didn't want people in there. Or the whole thing could be rented out, or it could be just somebody's home that they live in. Any questions? Okay, next one. The next one is a one bedroom, one bath. And I think this is probably my favorite, just because I like the layout of it. I like the fact that even though it's the same size as the previous units, it at 624 square feet, it has a kitchen island. So that kind of creates a dining room area for people. This one has a one-car garage that is not optional, and the reason it's not optional is that it has the water heater in the garage, and we moved the water heater out there just to get some little extra space in the house where that was taking up space before. If somebody did want to build this plan and they wanted to not have the garage, they have the option of contacting the designer that we used for this plan and paying them to modify the plans to relocate that water heater inside somewhere. And they would be responsible for that expense if they chose to do that. So walking into the house from the garage, you walk in and you have a side-by-side washer dryer. Then you have the full kitchen with all of the fixtures that I mentioned before. You have an ADA bathroom, which again has a linen closet. The living room is just off of the kitchen. The bedroom is a large bedroom, and this closet is actually about 7 or 8 feet wide, so it's a huge closet in this particular unit. Again, it's available in all three of those styles. All of them have the...
I'm sorry, Rachel, when you're saying a huge closet is 7 feet, ours is 20 by
so,
four plus
right,
a
right.
10
closet,
by 12 walk-in.
So my
grandma
closet,
wanted her closet space.
I
hear seven,
scale.
And I'm like, ooh.
It's all about because if you look at the previous plan, it was probably only a 4 foot closet.
Right.
This one, most bedrooms that are this size, they usually have at the most a 6 foot wide. So this one is almost 8 feet. So it's for a bedroom and a house this size, it is a huge closet. So we'll see some bigger closets.
You didn't have any fun doing this, did you? No. I can't tell by your voice.
So we'll see some bigger closets and more once we get into the bigger plans. But for this size, for 600 square foot one bedroom, having an almost 8 foot wide closet is a huge closet. But yeah, it only has the only other closet that's in here is just the linen closet off of the inside the bedroom itself. All of these porches are 6 foot deep, like they have been in the past. And that's about it. Any questions?
If you had an on-demand water heater, you wouldn't need that.
So right now with the current regulations regarding energy consumption, most of these, if not all of them, are going to be designed with what is called a heat pump water heater. And what that is it's an actual tank, but it's similar to a lot of our heating and cooling units in our home up in this area, but it's going to be a heat pump water heater. And so it'll take the hot air from the exterior of the water heater and exchange it and create hot water. A friend of mine actually has one in his garage, and it air conditions his garage. So it's an interesting concept. I probably will be replacing my water heater, which took about 10 minutes to get to turn on this morning with one of these. So I will stick it in my attic, and it will air condition my attic and take that hot air out of my attic and turn it into hot water.
Is that going to be required?
So specifically for that particular type, it's not required, but you have to meet energy standards for new buildings. And it's much easier to meet those standards if you have that type of water heater. The on-demand water heaters are great because they don't create hot water when you don't need it, but it's actually more energy usage when you do use them compared to this type of heat pump water heater that is likely to be used. Our designer hasn't given us the plans for it. They've talked about how they were planning on using it, but we'll see the actual plans once they finalize them, which they're 75% plus on all of the plans at this point right now.
Okay, so you just threw up two yellow flags for me. The first one, this new energy efficient heat pump that you're talking about may be great in the summer.
Yeah, right.
What about in the winter up here? We don't want the attic cooled in the winter, and we probably don't want a direct access room, i.e. a garage, being kept cold when we're trying to heat a home.
Yeah, so that would be something to talk to the builder about, venting it to the outside instead of the inside then.
Okay. And then the other red flag that came up, are these, because you're talking about state energy efficiency criteria, are these all going to have to be wired for the overly expensive and useless EVs?
So our code is that we use in our county is the California Building Code. So we follow all of the California Building Code regulations. The only thing that are considered optional for these plans would be solar and fire sprinklers. And those are if you are rebuilding a home that was burned. And we have backtracked those codes to an earlier version, which Rick can tell us what the code version that was that we're doing for fire.
Yeah, the 2008 Building Code Standard. That said, it just, like Rachel mentioned, it takes out the requirement for photovoltaic and also for the sprinklers.
Right.
Everything is still all current code for electrical, mechanical, plumbing.
Okay, well, it's been a while since I've built a home, and I thought I remembered reading at some point in the last 5 years that if you have a garage that is part of the dwelling, that it had to be wired for an EV charge.
If
it's separate, you don't have to, but if it's part of the dwelling, I thought I read something in California it had to. And so that's why I'm asking, is this exempt since it's rebuilt for fire, or people, whether they want it or not, going to have the EV set up?
So if it's a fire rebuild and it's using the prior code that Rick mentioned, then it would not have to have that.
Okay.
If it is a new home, it would have to meet the new code. I don't, I know.